Father God, because of your faithfulness, we can find rest. And in the Psalms, it says that we can find rest in the shadow of your wing. And God, no matter what is going on in our life, you have proved yourself faithful. When we look back and we see your fingerprints, your handprints all over our life, Lord, that's how we can face today. That's how we can face tomorrow, because of your faithfulness. God, this morning as we continue our time in worship in the Word, I pray that you would challenge our hearts with these words that were written to Joshua. Lord, may we be able to receive them. May we be able to apply them today, this week, next month. The truth of these words, they are real to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you to take your Bible and turn to Joshua 1:9. That's where we're going to land this morning. We're going to cover some verses leading up to that, but that's going to be our primary focus this morning. And let me just say good morning, and thank you for joining us in worship this morning. And as I promised last week, Pastor Jonas already mentioned this, we sent out that climate survey, and it was incredible to receive over 700 responses. We were hoping for 200, and then we thought, well, maybe 300, but 700 plus responses. And we're using the results as one of the resources in determining the process and the stages of reopening. We're also looking to God, of course, for his direction in order to make what we call wise and responsible decisions. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your support during this season. And please continue to pray for our task force, for our MLT, for our elder board, and for our admin council as we navigate this. Again, also last week, we provided this Mother's Day drive-through, and it was absolutely amazing. Again, we were like, are 10 cars going to show up, 100 cars? And again, 255 people came through that. Today, we continue in the series Imitate, and it's based on Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, which says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This morning, as I was going back over that verse, which is kind of the springboard for this series, I noticed a what, how, and why in that verse, in those two verses. The what is, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. And then there's a how immediately after that. It says, walk in the way of love. And why? Just as Christ loved us and he gave himself for us. So far in this series, we've talked about what it means to be simple, what it means to be thankful, what it means to be confident, to be still. And today I want to talk about what it means to be strong and courageous. In order to do that, let me begin with a couple of questions. Have you ever felt like life sucker punched you? Or like you just got hit by a Mack truck? For some, it may not be what life has done to you. It may be more of a personal struggle. The truth is, even though at times we give the appearance like life is a piece of cake, or that we've got it by the tail and we've got it under control, every one of us needs reminding of this truth today. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because we're weak. Because sometimes we're worn out. Because sometimes we're unmotivated, confused, or lost, or afraid, tired, exhausted. We're going to see this morning how God's word is just what we need, this truth, this powerful truth and encouragement. Be strong and courageous. Out of the million plus people who left Egypt during the Exodus, Joshua and Caleb were the only two who had actually been in the promised land. Joshua was this brilliant military leader, and he had a strong spiritual influence to those people that surrounded him on a daily basis. And his success was solely the result of his submission to God, no other reason. And when God spoke, One of the things we learn from Joshua is that he listened. And not only did he listen, he obeyed. Moses had been the leader for many years and led the Israelites from captivity in Egypt to this eastern border of the Jordan River. And it's there that Moses breathed his last. And now it's Joshua's turn. God had been preparing Joshua and a succession plan all along. I want to set the stage just a little bit. For 40 years, the Israelites had wandered in the desert. They refused to follow God's lead, and they refused to follow his direction. Eventually, a new generation came along, and they were ready to do all of those things, and they were ready to cross the Jordan River, and they were ready to occupy the land that God had given them. Now, the whole Israelite community stood looking across the river into the land that God had given them, and they had a choice to make. And the Lord said to Joshua in so many words, "It's go time." Verses 1 through 8. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous." This is in verse 6. "Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." And then verse 7 again, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." That kind of sets up verse 9 where we're going to land today. Joshua was chosen by God to lead the people from the edge of the Jordan into the promised land. And this conquest would take incredible faith. It would take incredible courage and strength. And as the people stood looking across the Jordan into the promised land, they had two choices. Either they could live gripped by fear and disbelief and miss out on the presentation of God's power in their life, or they could step out in faith, be strong and courageous, and stand in absolute amazement at what God can do. Often we are faced with the same decision. We can live gripped by fear and miss out. Or I believe what God is going to say to us this morning, or we can be strong and courageous and be amazed. What will you choose? The land that they were about to enter across the Jordan was God's gift to the people. However, it could only truly be theirs if they were willing to fight hard for it. God handed them the title, but they had to evict the current occupants. In the same way, God gives us victory in life, but we have to fight hard for it. I want you to know this. In every area of your life, God has already been victorious. I want you to just think about that a second. In every area of your life, God has already been victorious. He has already won the battle. If you're like me, there are areas of your life that are not reflecting or revealing who the true owner is. God is calling us into the areas of life where the enemy, it could be the enemy or people or things, have taken up residency and now are causing us to live like we're homeless, as though this is our life. God is not asking us to go there and claim victory. He's already done that. He is asking us to go there and look those areas those areas in our life in the face and say, you need to leave now in Jesus' name. I want my life back. Joshua, some 38 years prior to this moment of him standing at the bank of River Jordan looking across, had spied on the land 38 years earlier. Do you remember what he saw? Giants. There were giants in the land. That was his report 38 years earlier. Giants cause us to live in fear. And fear can have this paralyzing grip in our lives. When you look out in your life, what is it you see? What are the giants in your life? Because giants can appear in our life. They can be emotional giants. They could be physical giants. They could be spiritual. If you've ever met with me, you already know that one of the questions that I am known to ask is this: what are you afraid of? Fear, and we've all wrestled with it. Fear is an indicator that you have not turned it over to God. What is it in this life that seems to have paralyzed you? What is causing you so much stress and heartache? What is troubling you? What is the burden that you're carrying that seems to get heavier and heavier? In other words, what are some of the things in this life that have stalled you, that trapped you, that have paralyzed you? What are some of the areas that you are running from or avoiding? The truth is, in God's word, we learn that he wants you to live free. He wants you to experience life. He wants us to not be afraid and to live in peace and experience this incredible joy that he offers us. In verse 9, we come to the third call of courage by God to Joshua. The first call to courage can be found in verse 6, and it was based upon, I find this fascinating, the first call to courage in verse 6, it was based upon God's promise. The second call to courage is found in verse 7 and 8, and it was based upon God's power. Now here we are in verse 9, and the third call for Joshua to be strong and courageous is based upon God's presence. So his promise, his power, and his presence. For the first interaction, we're just going to take a minute and do this one. Turn to the people maybe that you're around, or just ponder this in your own mind. What giants have you had to face in your life? Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The third promise is his presence. Let's unpack this just a little bit. First, he says, be strong. God was saying, I will never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do with you. I will never ask you to go somewhere that I'm not willing to go with you. God says, you are not alone in this. Is there an area of life maybe that you are feeling alone? To be strong means to fasten up. That's the idea behind it, to fasten up. Strength is found in God when you are secure in him. Strength, I think of it like in Ephesians 6. Strength is like a buckling up the belt of truth that we read about in Ephesians 6. Which, a side note, I think of this. Guys, if you have not discovered the click belt that they sell, it's absolutely amazing. It's a life changer. But when you put the belt on, it clicks, click, click, click. And it reminds me of this idea of the belt of truth. When that belt clicks into place, it's this idea of security. What you believe about God will determine just how strong you will be in this life. What you believe to be true about God. So to be strong means to be established. Strength is found when you are settled. When something is established, it's settled. Like when you move into a new home and when things get established. That's the idea behind it. Strength is found when we're fastened in the truth and established in Him. And those two ideas, those two things will give us strength and they will sustain us. And our convictions will guide us. Convictions are the code of ethics, so to speak, that we say that we live according to. After a standout season in which he went 35-4, Joel Northrup had every reason to dream of winning an Iowa wrestling championship a few years ago. His convictions led him to not participate in the state tournament that he had so deserved. Northrup, a homeschooled sophomore who competed for Linmar High School, said his religious beliefs wouldn't allow him to wrestle Cassie Herkelman, a ponytailed freshman from Cedar Falls, who was one of the first two girls to qualify for the tournament in its 85-year history. And I realized telling that story that people can land on both sides of the fence when faced with a dilemma like that. But the point is that Joel, a top wrestler projected to win state, everything that he had worked for, chose to follow his convictions, all the while giving up something that he worked so hard for. Be strong in your convictions, even when they appear to cause you to lose everything. I want to say that again because there's a key phrase there. Be strong in your convictions, even when they appear to cause you to lose everything. Doing what you believe God has asked you to do will always be God-honoring. And you will always gain far more than you think that you're losing. So be fastened in the truth and established in Him, and that's where you will find strength. That's the first idea found there. Interaction number two. We're going to take a couple of minutes on this. Here's the question. Has there ever been a time when you had to give up something or change your plans or make a difficult decision because of your convictions? Wrestle with that for a couple minutes. Secondly, be courageous is the next major piece of this verse. And to be courageous means to be alert and ready to move and to be steadfast. We have to be willing to roll up our sleeves and we have to be willing to do the hard work. Have you ever been trying to help someone and then in the process of helping them, it just dawns on you that you're actually working harder at their life than they are? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's working harder at your life than you are? Just because we have been made new in Christ, and just because Paul says in Galatians, we no longer live, but Christ lives in us, doesn't mean that we don't have to be alert, and it doesn't mean that we don't have to be steadfast. So as they stood looking across the Jordan, and as we stand looking at our giants, if God leads you to it, He will take you through it. 1 Thessalonians 4:24. I'm going to share this verse. It says this, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Every time I meet with somebody, if they're thinking about transferring jobs or if they're scared about anything in life, I often go back to this verse. And this verse has been powerful in my life. God has brought me to this a number of times when I start to worry or I start to fear and I start to think, I can't do that. And God says, let me remind you in 1 Thessalonians 4:24, the one who calls you is faithful. Now get this, he will do it. Let me be vulnerable here for just a second. When I was applying to come here to Bethel Church as the senior pastor. I would watch videos of the church services and just to get a feel for what the church was like. And I remember watching Pastor St. John preach. And when Pastor St. John would preach, he would use no notes. He memorized all of his sermons. And I watched that, and I remember turning to Lori often and saying, I can't do that. That's what they expect. That's what Bethel Church wants. There is absolutely no way that I can do that. I don't know how he does it. It's absolutely amazing how he does it. So, Matthew, if you ever watch this, that's just a shout out for you. That's amazing how you do that. But I can't do it. And again, God brought me back to the same verse, and he says, wait a minute, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And this incredible peace. But notice who will do it. God has called us as believers to rise up and to lead those who are following us. We're supposed to lead them on to God's agenda. He's called us to be strong and courageous because we have God's promises. We have God's power. And as we've heard today, we have God's presence. Courage comes from past victories. Look back and take notice of God's hard work in your life. Trust me, you are not a part-time job for God. You are not a hobby for God. He works overtime to get you ready for the day that you will meet him face to face. The difference between being proud and being courageous is the source. Pride comes from the flesh, and courage comes from the Lord. Are you pressing on with courage, knowing that God has in the past and will in the future? Courage means doing things that go against the flow or against the norm or what is safe. I don't know how many of you are directionally challenged like me, especially when I'm driving. But directionally challenged people pull way more U-turns than other people. Especially when I'm driving and I have a co-pilot and I'm in the left lane, and sometimes the co-pilot will be occupied with other things, and then they will say, oh, you need to turn right here. And I'm three lanes over. And I'm like, okay, that's good to know. And I look at my mirror, and there's all kinds of traffic, and my co-pilot will often say, you can make it. Just go ahead and do it. You can get over. And I'm a little bit more cautious of a driver than my co-pilot. So I make a lot of U-turns, right? And my point is this. God will, on occasion, ask us to pull a U-turn in a bumper-to-bumper traffic in life, and you're going to need courage to do it. Interaction number three. Share a time in your life when you were going one direction and God told you to pull a U-turn. Thirdly, do not be terrified. When you look out and you see giants, anything that appears insurmountable, it's great to be reminded of this truth. Don't be terrified. You have nothing to fear. Again, remember that fear is often an indicator that we haven't turned it over to God. Do not be terrified. In other words, don't give up. Don't give up on the dream or the vision that God has given you. Don't give up on relationships. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your kids. Look closely and celebrate what God is doing. Be strong and courageous, and do not be terrified, because God is with you. There's his presence again. Number four, do not be discouraged. When we feel that life is getting the best of us, there's something inside of all of us that just wants to run from the difficulty. that we want to quit, that we want to go a completely a different direction because it's too hard. When things don't happen when and how that we want them to. Or when people don't behave in the way that we want them to, when we want them to. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this. Stop focusing on what others are doing wrong. Start by saying, Lord, change me. Take a good, hard look in the mirror. Discouragement is often the result of where you are looking. And if you're not careful, your eyes can play funny tricks on you. They can make you believe things that are not real. And oftentimes, it is the unreal things that lead to discouragement. Be strong, be courageous, do not be terrified, and do not be discouraged because, number five, God is with you. God's presence is always with us. I love this idea that we are never alone. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, right? You know that only works for so long in life. How about when the going gets tough, God gets going? In the first five verses of this chapter, Joshua was provided with strong affirmation from God. And God said in so many words, I will never leave you and I will never let you down. And so with that kind of commitment from God, wouldn't you be? Joshua was all ears. When we stand on the foundation of knowing that God will never abandon us, nor will he ever leave us, when we stand on that truth, we're much more apt to listen to God. And we're much more apt to listen to what God is asking us to do, even the really hard stuff. Your life will give testimony either to the mighty and powerful God that we serve as we draw upon his strength and courage, or it will give testimony that we lived self-reliant. So let me ask you, what part of "for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go," what part of that don't we get? What part of that don't we understand? Three times in these first few verses of Joshua, God said to him, be strong and courageous. We are not in it alone. When I think about the different areas of my life where I need strength and the different areas where I need courage, it's very comforting knowing that God's presence will be with me. I am not an army of one. I'm the soldier of a commander-in-chief who knows far better than me how to have victory. I'm not alone. God is with me wherever I go and wherever I'm willing to go. Throughout Scripture, God has made it clear that he will not ask you to do anything that he is not willing to lead you through. He will equip you. He'll prepare you. He'll shape you. His presence will go with you. Friends, walk by faith. You have nothing to fear. Let me share with you one thing, and it's actually the verse, just with a couple key words. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, again, which means to fasten up or to be settled. Be courageous, which means to be alert and ready. Do not be afraid, the idea of dreading. Do not be discouraged, or the idea of being beat down. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Love you guys. Can't wait until we can worship together in person. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for those verses, those powerful verses be strong and courageous. That truth was not only for Joshua. That's for every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in the truth of those words, and that we can step out in faith, and we have nothing to fear because of your presence and because of your power in our lives. Minister to us today. Lead us today. Show us today. In Jesus' name, amen.